Did you know that the military had an entire Camel Corps during the Civil War? And that 4th of July wasn't celebrated for 75 years in Vicksburg after Union soldiers killed one such beloved camel? Well, hello there. I'm Christina, and you're listening to History and Hearsay. In the 1830s, America's westward expansion was being severely hindered by the inhospitable terrain and climate that pioneers and settlers were facing. This was especially true in the Southwest, where arid deserts, mountain peaks, and impassable rivers were proving to be an almost insurmountable obstacle for men and animals alike. In 1836, U.S. Army Lieutenant George Crossman had an unusual idea to help deal with the situation. With the help of his friend, E.H. Miller, Crossman did a study of sorts and then sent a report with their findings to Washington. The report basically said that camels were superior to all other pack animals when it came to their ability to not only carry heavy loads, but also go long periods without food or water. And in addition to all of this, camels' feet were well suited for traveling on many different types of terrain, from grassy or sandy plains to rough rocky hills and paths. And unlike horses, camels did not require shoeing. Now, you might think switching from horses to camels would have been simple enough, but their report was completely disregarded by the War Department. That is until 1847, when Crossman, now promoted to major, met with Major Henry C. Wayne of the Quartermaster Department. Major Wayne was also super into camels and took up the idea, submitting his own report to the War Department. At this time, Congress recommended the U.S. government's transportation of camels, and this then caught the attention of Jefferson Davis, who you might remember as being the president of the Confederate States during the American Civil War, but back at this time, he was just a U.S. senator for Mississippi, and he was also the chairman of the Senate Committee on Military Affairs. And he thought this whole camel idea sounded very practical. And so he joined this camel commission, and he tried for several years to acquire approval and funding for the project. But again, this was all to no avail, and it was not until 1853 when Davis was appointed as Secretary of War that he was able to present the idea of importing camels to both President Franklin Pierce and Congress. But Congress was still pretty skeptical of this idea, and Davis tried again in 1854, and this time in his annual report, he wrote to Congress outlining all of the reasons why camels would be beneficial. Finally, on March 3rd, 1855, Congress agreed and passed the Shield Amendment to the appropriation bill, and $30,000 was allocated towards the purchase and importation of camels for military purposes. Secretary Davis was finally able to get his camels. Now, Davis wasted no time in getting his plan into motion, and by May of 1855, he had appointed Major Wayne to head up the expedition to acquire the camels. The Navy storeships, the USS Supply, was tasked with bringing over the camels and was outfitted with special hatches and slings in order to do so. While the camels were making their long voyage across the ocean, Wayne went all over the world learning about camels. He visited zoos in London and Paris to learn about caring for camels, and he also interviewed military men and scientists who had firsthand experience with camel handling. Wayne also traveled to Africa, and he went to Egypt, more specifically Cairo, and he spoke to people there who had firsthand experience with using camels for military use. Getting the camels, however, proved to be quite an ordeal. At first, several of the ones they acquired had issues with mange, and then there were some exporting permit problems, but ultimately they were able to acquire a total of 33 camels. They negotiated a price that's said to have come out to about $250 per animal, which I'm not sure if that's in their money or in our money, but it kind of sounds like quite a bit either way. They were also able to hire 5 native Arabs and Turks to help care for the animals during the months-long voyage and act as drivers when they reached America. On February 1856, the animals were on their way to America. It took 3 long months, but they finally arrived in Texas on May 14th. One of the male camels had died during the trip, but six calves had been born, and two of those six had survived the trip. So by the time they arrived in Texas, they had 34 camels who were said to be healthier than when they had left their native soil. The camels were allowed a few weeks to rest and get acclimated to their new home. And then on June 4th, Wayne marched the herd 120 miles to San Antonio. The trip took about 2 weeks. Now, Wayne planned to establish a ranch and start breeding the camels, but Secretary Davis did not agree to this plan. He thought that they should put the camels straight to work so they could go ahead and see how all of this worked before they put more time into a breeding farm. He reasoned that they had only spent about half of the funds set aside for the camel experiment, and so a second trip could be made to acquire more. So in August, Lieutenant David Porter, who had tagged along on the first trip, was sent back to Egypt to get more camels, while Major Wayne moved the existing herd some 60 miles northwest to Camp Verde, where he constructed a camel corral exactly like the ones he'd observed in Egypt and Turkey. To satisfy Davis's concerns about the military usefulness of the camels, Wayne devised a small field test. He sent three wagons, each with a six-mule team and six camels, to San Antonio for a supply of oats. The mule-drawn wagons each carried 1,800 pounds of oats and took nearly 5 days to make the return trip to the camp. The six camels carried 3,648 pounds of oats and made the trip in 2 days, clearly demonstrating both their carrying ability and their speed. Several other tests served to affirm the transporting abilities of the camels and their superiority over the horses and mules. Davis was so pleased with the results that he wrote in his annual report for 1857 that the camels had done very well and basically exceeded even his optimistic expectations. Over the next several months, Major Wayne worked with the civilian drovers and soldiers to accustom them to the camels. He taught them how to care for and feed the animals, manage the cumbersome camel saddles, properly pack the animals, and most importantly, how to deal with the camel's mannerisms and temperament. By nature, the camel is a docile animal, but can demonstrate a violent and aggressive temper when abused or mistreated, like literally kicking, biting, or even stomping an antagonist to death. And when camels get annoyed, they'll often spit a large, gelatinous, foul-smelling mass of cud at whoever it is that annoyed them. So most men who've experienced with camels preferred horses, mainly because of their demeanor. But the proponents of camels basically were just like, you have to learn that camels will be nice to you as long as you are nice first. They just don't abide by your temper the same way that a horse will. It's also said that it was really difficult for the men to get used to how bad the camels smelled. And now, while many people point out that camels really don't smell much worse than horses, mules, and unwashed men, their smell was very different than what people were used to. It was very pungent, and because it was so different, it was known to frighten horses who were unfamiliar with the odor. So basically, the horses would get spooked until they got accustomed to the smell. So it was just another thing that they had to work with since they were using both camels and horses together. By January of 1857, Lieutenant Porter had returned to the U.S. with 41 additional camels. Five of the original herd had died from disease, and so this brought the total number of camels to 70. In March of 1857, James Buchanan became president of the United States, and several changes were made which directly affected the camel experiment. John B. Floyd replaced Davis as Secretary of War, and Major Wayne was transferred back to the Quartermaster's Department in Washington. Now, this kind of messed with the entire camel experiment because it removed two of the experiment's main supporters. Nevertheless, Secretary Floyd decided to continue with his predecessor's experiment. In response to a petition made by some 60,000 citizens for a permanent railroad, which would help link the Eastern Territories with those of the Far West, Congress authorized a contract to survey and build a wagon road from Fort Defiance in New Mexico Territory to the Colorado River on the California-Arizona border. The contract was won by a Mr. Edward Fitzgerald Beale, who held the rank of Brigadier General in the California Militia. Beale was not informed until after he had accepted the contract that the Secretary of War had special conditions. Beale was ordered to take 25 camels with him on his surveying expedition. expedition. Vil protested highly at being encumbered by camels. He did not want these camels on his trip. But Floyd was adamant. Since Major Wayne had left Cape Verde, the camels had been completely unused. The government had gone to quite some time and expense to test the camels in just this kind of situation, and Floyd was determined to see if they could justify the money that had been spent on these camels. Although strongly opposed to the idea, Beale finally consented. The surveying party consisted of 25 camels, 2 drovers, 44 soldiers, 12 wagons, and some 95 dogs, horses, and mules. At first, Beale was convinced that he had been right about the camels because for the whole first week, they were slower than the horses, taking several additional hours to reach the camp each night. But by the second week, the camels picked up the pace and started outperforming the other pack animals by leaps and bounds. Beale would later attribute the slow start for the camels to the months of idleness that they had at Cape Verde. It was kind of like they just had to get back into the groove of things. The camels were carrying 700-pound loads and not batting an eye over the tough terrain, while the horses were struggling. The camels were able to keep up a consistent pace, and Beale was very pleasantly surprised and ended up writing to Floyd about the success of this experiment. He wrote that most of the horses and mules had sore backs and injuries, while the camels were having an easier time with much heavier weights. As they continued their journey, Beale was impressed by the patient demeanors of the camels who handled anything dished out to them. The men learned better ways of packing the camels, and it seemed as though they could continually pack more and more on the camels, and they just took it in stride. He also noted that the camels didn't complain regardless of what they were fed, and they were pretty quiet animals. Clearly, the horses and the mules were divas. The camels ate little of the forage, and they were content to eat any shrubs and prickly plants that they found along the trail. They could travel 30 to 40 miles a day, go for 6, 8, or even 10 days without water, and seemed not the slightest bit bothered by the oppressive climate. At one point, the expedition became lost and was mistakenly led into an impassable canyon. The ensuing lack of grass and water for over 36 hours made the mules panic. A small scouting party mounted on camels was sent out to find a trail. They found a river about 20 miles away and led the expedition to it, literally saving the lives of both men and beasts. From then on, the camels were used to find all of the watering holes. By October, the expedition had reached the final leg of their journey and began to cross the Colorado River. Beale was concerned about how they were going to get the camels to get across the river because he had been told that they couldn't swim, but he was pleasantly surprised when the largest camel was led to the river. He just plunged right in, fully loaded, and swam across with no difficulty. The remaining camels also crossed without incident, but 2 of the horses and 10 of the mules drowned in the attempt. Once their surveying mission was complete, Beale led the expedition to Fort Tejon, about 100 miles north of Los Angeles, to rest and reprovision. The expedition had lasted for nearly 4 months and covered over 1,200 miles. Floyd was extremely pleased with the results, and he ordered Beale to bring the camels back to Cape Verde. But for some reason, Beale decided he wasn't going to do that. He gave the excuse that if the troops in California became involved in the Mormon War, the camels could prove invaluable for carrying supplies. So instead of following his initial orders, Beale moved the camels to the ranch of his business partner, Samuel A. Bishop, in the lower San Juan Valley. Bishop used the camels in his personal business, hauling freight to his ranch and the new town arising near Fort Tejon. During one such venture, Bishop and his men were threatened with attack by a large band of Mohave Indians. Bishop mounted his men on the camels and charged the Indians. This was used later by the Camel Committee as a reason to use camels instead of horses in the military, because it's believed that the camel's smell is part of what scared the Indians' horses away. However, this was the only combat action using camels, and it was performed not by the U.S. Army, but by civilians. In April of 1858, there was another survey done for a second route using camels, which also had good results, and the Camel Committee tried to get Congress to authorize the purchase of 1,000 additional camels, but Congress wasn't convinced, and that didn't really go anywhere. Floyd tried again several more times to get Congress to approve buying more camels, the last time being in 1860. But by then, the clouds of Civil War were rolling in and had captured Congress's undivided attention. Now, in November of 1859, the army did take 28 camels from the farm and tried to see if they could use the camel as like an express service. At the time, they were using mules to carry messages 300-ish miles from Camp Fitzgerald to Camp Mohave, and two test runs were done. And in both of these tests, the camels died from exhaustion, leading the army to realize what other tests had already shown. The camels were not bred for speed, but for transport. They could move quickly with heavy loads for the amount they were loaded down, but they weren't like racehorse type animals. Although the test proved that the Camel Express was significantly cheaper, it was no faster than the mule and buckboard service, and it was much harder on the camels than it was on the mules. And this was the only test the military ever did with the camels that actually failed. There were several other experiments run where the explorers got lost and camels were able to get them back on track and save countless lives. But once the Civil War began, it effectively halted all camel experiments. The military weren't putting the camels to enough use for them to be worth the cost of keeping them, and so they started selling the camels off. On February 28, 1861, rebel troops occupied Camp Verde and captured several of the remaining camels, using them to transport salt and carry mail around San Francisco. The stories claim that the camels suffered greatly at the hands of their captors, and they claim that they were badly mistreated, abused, and a few of them were even deliberately killed. However, I'm not sure how accurate those reports are, because we know of at least one camel that was very well loved and cared for by the Confederate troops, and his name was Douglas. Douglas served in the 43rd Mississippi Infantry. He was gifted to Colonel W.H. Moore, who assigned him to carry the instruments and knapsacks for the regimental band. Douglas participated in at least three battles until he was shot by a Union sharpshooter on June 27, 1863, during the siege on Vicksburg. Legend has it that the Confederates were furious with the death of their beloved camel, and a team of six Confederate snipers were assembled and tasked with avenging his death. This resulted in severely wounding the sharpshooter who had killed Douglas. Now, some stories say that after his death, the Union soldiers dragged Douglas's body from the battlefield and ate him, making souvenirs from his bones, and many attribute this to why after the surrender on July 4th, 1863, the 4th of July wasn't celebrated in Vicksburg for another 75 years. They say the siege of Vicksburg wasn't about control of the Mississippi River at all. It was always about Douglas. But in all seriousness, while some claim it was the Union soldiers who ate the beloved camels, others believe it was actually the Confederate regiment who had been starving under the siege of Vicksburg, and Douglas was able to help them one final time by providing nutrients for their continued fight. Regardless, Douglas was truly loved, and his service is commemorated right alongside 5,000 other soldiers in the Vicksburg City Cemetery, and his tombstone says that old Douglas was a faithful and patient camel. After the war, the surviving 44 camels from Camp Verde were brought to auction and sold for about $31 per camel. The military called the camel experiment a failure and expressed hopes that civilians could put them to better use. The camels ended up in circuses, giving rides to children, running in camel races, living on private ranches, or working as pack animals for miners and prospectors. They became a familiar sight in California and the Southwest, Northwest, and even as far away as British Columbia. Now, as you can imagine, many people in America at that time had never even seen a camel before, so camels often drew quite a large crowd. Eventually, though, the curiosity wore off, or their new owners simply didn't want or need the them anymore, and many camels were just turned loose in the wild to fend for themselves. They were seen for many years afterward wandering the deserts and plains of the Southwest. The last of the original army camels, a camel by the name of Topsy, was reported to have died in April of 1934 at Griffin Park, Los Angeles, at the age of 80. But accounts of camel sightings continued for decades. Although never officially designated the U.S. Army Camel Corps, this is how the Army's camel experiment has been remembered. So, what do you guys think? Had you ever heard of this? Leave me a comment down below. If you enjoyed this video, give it a thumbs up, and I'll catch you all right here in the next one.